Testament reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of our Lord. It seems in the past year and a half or so, I found myself traveling on a plane more so than ever before in my life. And every time I am flying, I end up having the exact same conversations with the individual sitting next to me. And that conversation is always sprung on by that person asking me the initial question, what do you do for a living? And as soon as you tell someone that you are a minister, and as soon as you tell them that you're a minister in Western New York, then you immediately start talking about the apocalyptic snowfalls that we get here. And then that conversation shifts to a very long theological discussion for the rest of the flight. George Buttrick was a profoundly insightful author, a professor at Harvard University, and he was the senior minister at Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. And he found himself in a similar situation on a plane one time. One occasion, he was writing vigorously on a notepad. He was writing notes for his upcoming Sunday sermon. And the gentleman next to him, after about an hour of vigorous writing, he interrupted him. And he said, "Excuse me, sir, I can't help but notice that you're working on something very important. Do you mind if I ask you what it is that you're doing?" And Buttrick responded. He said, "Sure, no problem. I am a Presbyterian minister, and I'm working on my sermon for this coming Sunday." So the man responded sarcastically, and he said, "Oh, religion. I don't get caught up in the ins and outs of religion. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That is my view on religion." So Buttrick responded cordially, and he said, "Well, do you mind if I ask what it is that you do for a living?" And this gentleman said, "I'm an astronomy teacher at the university in New York City." And Buttrick said, "Oh, astronomy. I don't get caught up in the ins and outs of astronomy. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. How I wonder what you are. That is my view on astronomy." It is absolutely impossible to sum up our faith with one catchphrase. The ins and outs of our faith are exceedingly intricate. There's always another layer that we can peel back. There's always another face of God that we can uncover. And this morning, as we celebrate Trinity Sunday, we are faced with one of the most intricate divine mysteries of our faith. The Trinity is something that has been long debated by the early Christians, by theologians and Bible scholars, as they grappled with how to really understand the Trinity and how each person in the Trinity relates to one another, to the point of splitting hairs over the language defining the Trinity, whether it was persons of God or aspects of God or essences of God. At various points in all of our lives, we wrestle with understanding the mysteries of our faith and really unpacking the ins and outs in a more defined, tangible way. So this morning, as we celebrate the Holy Trinity Sunday, then I wanted us to kick it Catholic style and look at one of the most famous Trinity icons as we explore this long-debated mystery of our faith a little bit further. The icon that we're looking at was painted by a Russian artist by the name of Andrei Rublev between the years 1408 and 1425. An icon is not a painting in the sense that we normally regard pieces of art. An icon is a window out of the obvious realities of everyday life into the realm of God. Every paint stroke has a meaning hollowed by centuries of prayer. Icons are religious images that hover between two worlds, putting into colors and shapes what cannot be easily grasped by our intellect. They render the invisible visible. Within Rublev's icon titled The Trinity, there are three angels, which represent the three persons of the Trinity. The Father, who is to the left, the Son, who is in the center, and the Holy Spirit, who is to the right. Unlike many other icons depicting the Trinity, Rublev's rendition illustrates the three angels, or the three persons of God, as co-equal, as they are all seated together, and as they are all at equal heights. One is not elevated above the other. And all three angels have staffs in their hand as a symbol of the divine power, the equal divine power. Rublev gives each person of the Trinity different clothing. On the right, the Holy Spirit is wearing a garment that is deep blue, with another piece of garment draped over the blue, which is a fragile green. The colors of this garment depict how the Spirit of creation moves through the sky and water and breathes in heaven and earth. The Son has the deepest colors, a thick, heavy garment of the reddish brown of earth and a cloak of the blue of heaven. In his person, he unites heaven and earth. The two natures are present in him. And over his right shoulder, there is a band of gold shot through the earthly garment as his divinity permeates and transfigures his earthly being. The Father seems to wear all the colors in a kind of fabric that changes with the light. And in places, his garment seems somewhat transparent. The overall color of God's fabric cannot be easily described or confined with words. This is how it should be, because God is not easily described or confined in words. And the fact that his fabric appears to be somewhat transparent in places illustrates how the Father is transparent, never seen, but yet he still fills the entire universe. The wings of all three of the angels are gold. Their seats are gold. The chalice in the center is gold, and the roof on the house over top of God's head is gold. So whether they sit, whether they fly, all is precious and worthy and in perfect stasis. The light that shines around their heads is white, pure light. Gold is not enough to express the glory of God. Only light will do. And that same white becomes the holy table, the place of offering. This table represents God's place of hospitality to us. Contained in the center of the circle is a chalice, which is viewed as a sign of sacrifice. And it is viewed as a chalice of sacrifice because inside of it is a lamb. And all three angels are blessing this chalice in which the sacrificed lamb lies. The sacrifice of the lamb signifies our Savior's death on the cross, while its preparation as food symbolizes the sacrament of the Eucharist. The mystery of this meal sums up everything about God, his power, his glory, and above all, his love. And it is expressed in such a way that we can reach it and we can access it, because the empty space at the table is on our side of the icon. Therefore, we are invited to join the group at the table. We are invited to complete this circle and join this dance and complete the movements of God in this world. As we explore the relationship of each person of the Trinity, let us start with God the Father to the left. The Father is looking forward. He's raising his hand in blessing to the Son. It is impossible to tell whether he is looking up at the Son or down at the chalice at the table, but nevertheless, his gesture expresses a movement towards the Son, almost as if reiterating the words from Matthew, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And the hand of the Son points on around the circle to the Spirit. In this simple array, we see the movement of life towards us. That is, that the Father sends the Son and the Son sends the Spirit. The life flows clockwise around the circle, and we complete the circle. As the Father sends the Son, as the Son sends the Holy Spirit, so we are invited to join this divine circle. And now, looking at the top of the icon, just take a couple of seconds to see if you can figure out the images above each person's head. There's a hill, which is to the far right, just over the head of the Holy Spirit. And then there's a tree, which is just over the head of Jesus, in the middle of the picture. And then there is a house, which is over top of God's head to the left. The image of the hill above the Spirit is called the hill of prayer, and it's used to symbolize the hills that we experience throughout our lives. The hill represents the ups and downs that we face, the tragedies, the heartaches. But amidst those hills, we find the Spirit who prays with us and for us. The Spirit touches us and leads us by ways that we may not even be aware of up this hill of prayer. And it may be steep and rocky, but yet the Spirit still goes with us along this path, which leads us to Jesus with the tree over top of his head. The tree above Jesus is a great tree, and in the heat of the day, this tree spreads its shade far and wide. It is a place of security, a place of peace, a place where we begin to find out the possibilities of who we can be. It is no ordinary tree. It stands above the sun in this picture, and it stands above the altar table where the lamb lies within the chalice. And it is because of that sacrifice that this tree is able to grow. The tree of death has been transformed into a tree of life for us. And this tree leads us to God with the house above God's head. Over the head of the Father is the house of the Father, which represents the goal of our journey, where we are all to dwell within the house of God. Its roof is golden, its door is always open for the traveler. It has a tower, and its window is always open so that the Father can incessantly scan the roads, watching over and protecting all of his children. You all can easily find this image online just by Googling Rublev's Trinity. And if I can just have Marie grab the lights for me. It is absolutely impossible to sum up our faith with one simple catchphrase. And as we explore our faith through artistic expression, then we have the opportunity to visually see it and to understand it in a deeper and more meaningful way. Rublev's depiction of the Trinity is beyond fascinating and intricately detailed. With just this one icon, we can gaze into this window and experience the realm of God in a more defined, tangible way. Every brushstroke and every symbolic expression unpacks the ins and outs of our faith. This famous icon of the Trinity allows us to not only understand the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in a deeper way, but it helps us understand how we are invited to join this divine circle. And it helps us to understand how each person of the Trinity relates to one another. There's a constant flow of compassion between them. They relate to one another as equals, and there is a never-ending flow of divine love radiating from each one of them. This icon is a good reminder for all of us about the mystery of divine community, and it gives us an example to follow as to how we live in community with one another, living in community as equals, extending compassion to each other, and sharing the never-ending flow of divine love with one another. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.